Hello, everybody. I'm Lisa Burwell, your host of VSpeaks, Conversations with Heart and Soul. A couple of years ago, we started this podcast as a new media platform for us to tell more stories, see people, talk to them so that we can get more in depth. And our guest today is one of my favorite people of all time that I've met along my journey of 15 years publishing V Magazine. His name is Nathan Yoakum, and he is a phenomenal artist. This is his second time on our podcast. He was in season one, and now he's in season two. Nathan, welcome to the podcast yet again.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you for being here. Yeah, you are one of my favorite people, and I loved our podcast at the beginning a couple of years ago, and you were so raw and real, and your story of an artist is so great, and I didn't think we had exhausted all of our conversations, so this is part two.
No, never.
Yeah, never. So, bring us up to speed on what you've been doing in the last 2 years.
So, I have been working very hard, been staying very busy with commissions, been doing a lot more commission work, which is good. It keeps me busy and focused and goal-oriented on where I want to be with my work and just keep progressing, you know, every year with my work and making sure that I'm not just staying in my own mind when it comes to my work, but being influenced by other artists and the times and the culture that we're in.
Mm.
Yeah, for sure.
It was crazy times, right?
It was. Yeah. We went from doing the podcast, I think, to just COVID.
Yeah.
You know, and that shortly shut down kind of everything.
Right, right. You know. Well, this beautiful piece of art that we have on the table here, courtesy of you. Thank you so much. It's beautiful. This is a commission piece that you were telling me about that you're doing for somebody.
Yeah, so this is a commission piece I've done for someone locally for a business, and I hope she really likes it. And
when is she going to see it?
She will be seeing this on Tuesday.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm sure she's going to love it. Hard not to love this beautiful piece of work.
Yeah, it's very form-oriented, abstract, obviously. And, you know, I think a lot of my abstraction in my three-dimensional form work with resin has definitely evolved.
Mm-hmm.
As of, you know, back in like when I was, when I first started doing resin work, which is probably 2003, and then just it progressing. And my first real show with my textured work was back in 2008. And that was at the Hunter Museum of American Art. And I was in a art show and a gala. And I was chosen out of like 20-something thousand artists.
Really? I don't think we talked about that before.
Yeah, I don't think. I don't think we got into it. That was in the Jay Ekin Gallery downtown. He had a really giant gallery at one point downtown.
In Memphis.
Mm-hmm. And the Hunter Museum was there looking for new artists and new emerging artists and, you know, different works than they've seen before. And they picked four of my pieces out and they were shown in a gala there.
Wow.
And so I was hanging next to some really famous American artists like Andy Warhol and Chuck Klaus and some other real famous people. So it was a real honor you know, in 2008, you know, when I was still real young.
Right.
Doing
and it
work.
Was this medium?
And it was this medium. Okay. It wasn't as refined as it is now.
Okay.
It was very, very three-dimensional Jackson Pollock type of stuff, which obviously I was definitely, he was definitely impressed on me at a young age. You know, it's really good work, and being having Jay to support my work at that time was just I was just in the right place at the right time, and I had the right work they wanted to see.
Wow, was that the first opportunity that you had with Jay, who by the way is your mentor?
That was the first real big opportunity outside Jay's gallery, even though his gallery in Memphis is real well established and he's well known, he's my mentor, so he, you know, he's always pushed me to progress in my work, and he will send me different artists at times to really dig into, so that I can get influenced by other works. And it was a great opportunity because I was when I was young and my parents got divorced and I lived on the streets and I had really nothing and no real structure. And Jay really gave me that structure in the art world and helped me progress and believed in my work. And I started going to Jay when I was like, I think the first time I met Jay, I was 16. Okay. And then the second time was 17. Uh-huh. And then after that, I kept going to him. And then in my 20s, he gave me my first show. And then I just kept doing shows with him.
So when you were 16, because I didn't know you met him that early in your life, yeah. What art were you doing then that you brought to him?
When I was doing art then, it was very Dali-esque, very surrealism stuff, I was very into surrealism, obviously, at the time, and I just progressed out of it. Mm-hmm. There's not too many people that want surrealism artwork, so there wasn't a huge market for it. And so I slowly just kind of progressed out of it. And Jay challenged me to progress out of that as well and find all these other different artists, you know, to focus on and to grab from and to learn from and hear how they do their work and their techniques and their thought process.
But he had to see something in you when you were 16 with that genre of art.
Yes.
That he saw in you, yeah, that you were very good.
Yeah, I definitely, he probably did. I mean, before him, obviously, I was in all my arts classes in high school and stuff. And I have Spectrum 1 issue, and I have some other learning disabilities. So I didn't do well in the typical school setting, but I did really well in art and other things that I was interested in, and like shop class. And instead of in shop class, people would go in and work on lawnmowers. My shop teacher taught me how to weld. Mm. So I was making three-dimensional sculptures out of steel in high school and getting grades for my sculpture. So I really had two art classes going on.
Oh my gosh.
And it was, you know, I had really good art teachers, and art is my savant. Mm-hmm. It's what I do. It's what I know. It's what I love. It's who you are. Yeah, it's my passion. Yeah. And a lot of that too probably is because my dad's an architect. And I was exposed to architecture and art at a really young age, and museums and stuff that he would take me to. And even at a really young age, when we went to DC, I remember for the first time going into the Modern Museum of Art, even as a child, and seeing all that beautiful art and seeing those huge pieces of art on the wall, and just the impact that it had on me as an artist. It was definitely there. And I started drawing when I was probably 5 or 4 years old, drawing dinosaurs. And in the fourth grade, I was drawing a lot of comics, and I had a Batman drawing that I did, and my teacher put it to the Commercial Appeal in Memphis, and they put it in the Commercial Appeal at the time. So I just, you know, I've always been into art, you know. And even when I was in elementary school, my art teachers would let me do set design for the plays and stuff. So I'd be painting
in elementary school?
Yeah, I would be painting some of the designs. Like my first real art teacher, there was Mary Poppins and the pumpkin and all the flowers and stuff, and she taught me how to paint vines and stuff, and then I helped her do in fourth grade. I helped her do the big giant pumpkin on cardboard and like the wood setup and all that. And,
wow,
you know, it was very. They made sure I was, you know, always progressing. Mm. I had some really good art teachers.
That's so good.
Yeah.
But you didn't have a good experience in school other than that, right?
Yeah, school was real rough for me. Mm-hmm. I was not the greatest communicator when I was young. It's probably hard to believe now, but
yeah, it is. Actually,
I've overcome quite a bit of stuff. Uh-huh. I used to be very introverted, and
I love seeing this extroverted.
Yeah, I had some probably some behavioral problems as well. You know, I wasn't probably the easiest person, but I think a lot of kids that have learning disabilities and other issues going on, mm-hmm. we tend to be nuisances when mm-hmm. we need to be. Mm-hmm. And
you know, well, not to major on the minors here yeah. for your life, but just because you brought it up, when you said you were on the streets, what did that mean when you say you were on the streets? Truly on the streets?
Yeah. So after graduation, I was kicked out of my house. Okay. My parents were divorced, and my mom was kind of doing her thing, and my dad was doing his, and he didn't want me in the house anymore. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really have any. Once their marriage started going bad, it was just everything became very chaotic. And it was at the end of my high school year. So where kids were focused on going to college, I was like, where am I going to live? Mm-hmm. You know, because I knew that day was coming. Like, it was already told to me that I would have to leave the house. So I was on the streets of Memphis for a while. And when I mean on the streets, meaning have nowhere to stay, mm-hmm. meaning living mm. on the streets, either sleeping in my car wow. or sometimes I would have a friend that would let me stay uh-huh. and I could take a shower and, you know, get back on it. And it was a very hard road. And I was also, you know, I had no real support, mm-hmm. Whereas before I had some support from my parents when mm-hmm. they were together, and mm-hmm. my dad was encouraging me. Even I used mm-hmm. to go to at Memphis, they used to have a portfolio day, and all mm-hmm. the colleges would come to look at your portfolio. And I had half a scholarship to Kansas City of Art Institute, mm-hmm. and then I had a half to Memphis. But really, without that support mm. and no money, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. that, you know, that's a big deal. It's not just going right. to college. You got to have some right. sort of support. Correct. And I just didn't have that support.
I'm sorry. That makes me sad.
Well, you know, I used to get real upset about it. Mm-hmm. But the older I get, I realize that those experiences made me who mm-hmm. I am.
Exactly.
You know, and a lot of artists have gone through similar, mm-hmm. you know, similar ordeals, you know, that I've kind of gone through. But I had a really great family who took me in at one point, and I lived in a little shack in Orange Mound, mm-hmm. Deep within the Memphis, you know, scene. And I did get into some trouble when I was young, and I had gone to jail, and I went to an all boys facility, mm-hmm. It's Teen Challenge, and uh-huh. they helped me get on the right, you know, the right track. And but Jay was always there. Mm. He was always there supporting my work. You know, and it really didn't take me on until my 20s yeah. because obviously he's not going to take on an yeah. artist that's not totally, yeah. you know, ready to be serious.
Right.
You know, but I'm very thankful for the Jay and his gallery yes. and what he's done. And he still does this for mm-hmm. the youth. He's mm-hmm. he's very engaged with the community and other artists and getting them and making them understand what it takes to be an artist, because mm-hmm. it's not just about the work, it's about the business part of it, and knowing what your value is mm-hmm. of your work and right. not devaluing your work.
Right.
You know?
Well, yeah, for point of reference, you were on our cover two years ago in a beautiful photo that was taken in Memphis,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah.
Just absolutely stunning, and I loved it. And then in that article feature, you mentioned Jay a lot
yes.
and how grateful you are for his mentorship, his friendship, yeah. and being, you know, tethering. You could always go back to him when you needed to, and now you still keep in good contact with him.
Oh, yeah. And even what we lived here before I moved back, and we lived on Hilltop, and I was doing art and selling art through designers and stuff. And then we decided to go back to Memphis for a while because Jay wanted me to help him run the gallery for a while. And that's a great opportunity.
Oh, yeah. Did you do that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
To help him around the gallery and then have more influence.
Right.
Because you can't just learn you can't become a really good artist unless you surround yourself with other good artists. And being in that gallery provided me the opportunity to ask questions, mm-hmm. to be vulnerable, to be willing to have a teachable spirit, mm-hmm. and to be taught and to listen to other artists that were older than me that had influence on me, like Pam Cobb, mm-hmm. and some of Jay's other artists, mm-hmm. and watch them, how they maneuver different, mm-hmm. situations. And as far as mentoring goes, Jay's mentor is Philip Perlstein, who's, mm-hmm. an American famous artist too, and he does very realism type paintings, mm-hmm. And he adds items of pop and stuff like that into his work. And he actually just passed, mm-hmm. this year. And it goes to show you, you know, if Philip Perlstein didn't step out and be that guiding light to Jay, I would be lost.
Correct.
You know, I wouldn't have that, you know, and it is emotional for me because, mm-hmm. He's done so much for me, mm-hmm. things that I cannot give, mm-hmm. back, that, mm-hmm. I would love to. Mm-hmm. And time, he gave his time, mm-hmm. his life, his time. And he still does this, mm-hmm. Today, mm-hmm. you know, and it's amazing. And he treats every artist that walks through his gallery, he treats the same, and he takes the time, and it's amazing, you know.
I hope I get to meet him, because I know you speak so highly and, yeah. fondly of him. I really do. I'm just going to have to go to Memphis and say, yeah. hi.
you may have to do that.
We'll go together.
Yeah, okay. We can do that.
Yeah. yeah. Do you have art hanging there now?
Yes. So I have my newer series.
The Black and White?
The Black and, okay. White series, which is forms, kind of like this, mm-hmm. but I added the black lines to it, mm-hmm. because
it's beautiful.
Thank you.
I love it.
I was using VR. I use virtual, mm-hmm. reality to paint in sometimes and sculpt in,
right?
Because it helps me get those creative juices flowing. And I was using Tilt Brush, and I noticed one of the brushes is the white form with the black outlines in it. And it was it just had that appeal to me. It, so Keith Haring used to use the very solid black lines, mm-hmm. in the pop art, and that brush reminded me of that. And then, mm-hmm. I was forming it in my normal forms in VR, and I thought to myself, well, I could do this in real life. Mm-hmm. So I just started painting the black lines on my white pieces. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where that turned into, and the emotional aspect of that solid black lines with that white, you know, it's very, some of my pieces, they're kind of figurative, obviously, because abstract is always kind of figurative in a, mm-hmm. a point, mm-hmm. but it's very emotional. Even this one has a lot of movement, mm-hmm. movement in it and texture.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So you've done so many different forms of art and styles of art, subject matters. One of them, when I talk about the banana.
The banana.
Come on, we'll get the banana.
Yeah.
Okay, so talk about this, the genesis of this, and how you got started in this. And I love how you sign your banana here.
So the bananas, I really did started doing the bananas is because it's such a pop iconic thing for Andy Warhol when he was using his bananas. And I was like, well, I really just want to make a banana that's pop art, right. that's more solid, uh-huh. and more of a sculpture than just a flat form, you know. And I had seen that guy tape that banana to the wall and make all that money. I was like, well, I mean, I could do my own version of the banana. So for a while I was doing these bananas like glued to panels.
Nigel's
and Seahide has some of those bananas, and has sold several bigger versions
of it.
Oh,
they have?
They haven't.
Okay.
But I have sold several through designers.
Okay.
But I haven't done any since. I kind of do things,
yeah.
and then I stop doing things, and then I'll do something else. I try not to get bogged down in one thing. I know a lot of artists, they'll just do the same thing over and over and over again. That, mm-hmm. could be maddening. I don't know how they do that.
Yeah.
But, like if you look at Robert Rauschenberg's work, for instance, mm-hmm. you know, he started off very different from where he ended, you know, with his, where he would just take things and they were just these giant combines, you know, and then it just progressed into my work that I also do, which is not sculptural, which is my silkscreen paintings, mm-hmm. where I use silkscreen images and I use abstraction right. and kind of work on like the one I just did, which was the Angie Dickinson, the three Angie Dickinsons, you know, and to evoke those yeah. Emotions in that actress and just try to right. capture that.
Where is that now?
That's a private collection. Oh, somebody, that is? That's a private collection. Someone bought that one and had
that's
it commissioned.
Beautiful. Thank you. Very nice.
They actually bought the screen too.
Okay.
That I used to make it.
Really?
So I've sold several screens as art because one day I had a show at Jay's and I was like, you know, hey Jay, what do you think about this? And I just stuck my screen on the wall. I was like, now it is the art. Instead of it making the art, it should be the art.
Wow.
You know, because there's such an art form into making a silk screen.
Right. Wow.
And so I sold my first screen, big giant Elvis one in Memphis, to a private collector.
Mm. When did you do that?
Oh gosh, that was
before you moved here.
Before
I
moved
so like
here,
10 years ago or something.
Yeah.
So speaking of you know, kind of all your Memphis roots and everything, and obviously your artistry, which, you know, I'm a huge fan, and I think you're brilliant at
Thank
what you.
You
do. Absolutely brilliant and prolific.
Thank you.
Beyond prolific, actually. There's another side to you. There are several sides to you, but one of them being when you were in Memphis, you were dabbling in movies.
Yes, I was doing some acting. I had done some commercials, and then I did the Sun Records TV show. It only lasted one season, unfortunately. I just loved it. I loved being on set. I love being around other creative people.
Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting because when you're on set and you're around all these creative people, everybody's bouncing energy off of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really, it's kind of like being in Disney World, mm-hmm. you know, and it's really cool. And it was really fun. And I was in several scenes. I think I was in like 12 scenes as the background. And then I had one scene, but we didn't get to the second. We didn't get to the second season, but I had done the scene with Winona Ryder's stunt double,
mm-hmm.
and there was like a fight at the brawl, and it breaks mm-hmm. out, and mm-hmm. a gun gets pulled out, and everything. And that was a really cool scene. It's sad that no one will ever see it, but it was really cool.
Why you can't watch it on, you know, any reruns or YouTube
no,
or something?
No, you can. So you can get the first season
okay.
on Amazon to watch, which is Sun Records. But the second season obviously didn't go through.
Okay.
So no one probably, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
You know, that
yeah.
would probably be the.
On the cutting room
yeah,
floor, as they say.
Yeah.
Never
somebody,
made it.
Somebody owns that film and it's not going to be
okay.
seen. But
so how many episodes was the first season?
Seven. Yeah.
Okay.
I think seven. Yeah.
And so is that where you met the.
That's. So Lansky, who's the shirt you're wearing.
Right.
I got that from Hal Lansky and he sold me that. He's a great guy. I did some T-shirt designs for him with Elvis
mm-hmm.
That had to obviously get approved by, you know, the Elvis Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a clutch purse. We did a really limited run of those,
oh.
and those are really cool. But my dad is actually friends with Hal. So he introduced me to Hal probably when I was a little bit younger. You know, and then when I was doing the movie and stuff, I just really became, I guess, even more infatuated in a way with Elvis, not in a weird way, but just his energy, what
mm-hmm.
he provided
mm-hmm.
and the people that he affected around him, his
mm-hmm.
creative drive,
mm-hmm.
his force. I mean, without Elvis,
mm-hmm.
there's no telling what happens, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Without all these creative people in the world, this world would be super boring,
yeah.
you know, and there's no telling what we would miss.
Right.
You know, and he's.
So, is this a shirt that you said Elvis
so
wore?
So, Elvis wore that shirt, not that shirt, but
right.
he wore that same
design.
Yeah.
yeah. All right.
He was very fashionable at the time.
Yes.
You know?
Well, he was always very
yeah,
fashionable.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I don't think, I don't know that at the time TV people were not ready for him, but
no,
he was.
Not ready for prime time.
He
no.
was his own abstraction and his own, you know.
Yeah.
energy into this world.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
Driving force.
Yeah.
You know.
And not to bring up a super bad thing, but it's so timely, and it only happened in the last week.
Yeah.
But Lisa Marie.
Yeah, Lisa Presley, Marie passing away.
Passing is super, super sad, too.
It is very sad, you know, especially with the movie that had just... just come out, which was amazing.
And
Austin Butler, he was dead on. I mean, it was awesome watching him be Elvis.
I mean,
there were several times you couldn't even tell.
I know
the difference.
I know.
And I had grown up listening to Elvis because my grandfather would always sing Elvis when I was little, and he was in the choir, and he sounded just like Elvis. And I'd gone to church at the same church that Elvis went to, and there was this seat that had a plaque on it. So I would purposely go sit in that seat because I wanted that energy. I wanted to be, you know, that presence of someone so great like
transfer,
that. Yeah. Like, I mean, I thought those things. It's probably my imagination, you know. And at one point at one point in time, I thought my grandfather was Elvis when I was really young. Really had that in my head.
Did he look like
that
him?
That he was. He did kind of look like him, you know. And it was just one of those, you know, those things. I think my imagination when I was a child was just absolutely...
Well,
you know,
our imagination as children is boundless, you know.
Yes,
and it's just when we, like, get to the age of knowing, probably around 13 or 14.
We get all
closed in and closed up and buttoned up,
and
we can't do anything anymore.
And that's the trick to acting. When I was doing acting classes and doing all that, that is the trick. It's you pretending like you were when you were a child. You know, when you were a child, you played, you know, whether it's guns outside or army or whatever, whatever
you were in character.
Yes, you were in character, you know. Mm-hmm. And actually that... helped me a lot with my some of my spectrum issues because I could picture myself as a different person or a character to help give me that confidence to speak or to get through whatever issue I was having. I had a lot of trouble reading because of my dyslexia, and I spell phonetically, which means I spell everything like it sounds. It doesn't matter what the word is. It's always going to be like that, you know, and it makes it challenging. Probably the real bad one that I remember is being in reading class and everybody pointing at me and laughing at me. That was pretty tough.
Nah.
But
if they could see you now.
If they could see me now.
Cool cat,
but
making beautiful art.
The cool thing is, like, I get messages from old people in high school and they compliment me on my work or they say something nice because I always treat people with respect and I loved on everybody. And much of my dad's, to his chagrin, when he was always gone when I was in high school and mom left and he would leave the house and he would leave us, I would have parties, you know, and I would invite a lot of different type of people to my party. I loved all the different types of people. I love how everybody is different. You know, it's like an abstract painting, you know, no one wants to be in a room
with the same
people. Like they're all the same.
True.
It's just boring.
It's boring.
You know? It is boring. Yeah. So I just, I love experiencing life. I love talking to people. Now I like to listen to people's stories. And I like to just sit silently on the beach and just stare at people or go surfing.
Or surf, yeah.
Yes, like I love to surf. Yeah. Surfing is...
Your zen.
It is. It is a zen. Yeah, it does it for me for sure. I mean, there's just something very peaceful. And I mean, a lot of times I surf alone. My wife doesn't like it very much, but it's so peaceful. And there's something about surfing alone too, and you just kind of let go. You know, you have to let go, you know, and I think that's how life is. We just have to let go of those things that can hold us back.
But you're in a good place. I know you're in a super good place now.
Yeah. I'm in a very good place. I mean, I made it so far. I mean, I lived in a shack in Orange Mound, and now I'm living by the beach, and I have my own house that's paid for, you know, and that is a great, that's a great feeling to have. Because I had opportunities and I used to think I was robbed of a lot. But now that I look back on my life, I was enriched and I wasn't robbed.
True.
You know?
Yeah. And you have a great wife, Pauline.
Yeah.
She's a good partner.
She's
supportive.
She's a great wife. And she supports my work. And, when things get difficult, she's there to help me, mm-hmm. you know, navigate mm-hmm. those things. Especially social events where I get a little, I can get a little awkward. If it's just me and you, it's so much better.
Yeah.
But if there were like other people in the room, I would start probably sweating like profusely. Right.
But I think I think you've even made a lot of headway in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I think you're even more free with that.
Yeah. I took on my therapist in Memphis, Dr. Panter, really helped me see some things that I needed to see. And also, there are so many YouTubes and people to listen to and things that you can do to navigate whatever you're dealing with now. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many more resources and tools now.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in elementary school, they just stick you in resource. Right. You know, you just become resource. And then, like, the worst part of resources, if you truly have the learning disabilities, they stick you in a class, in a resource class. Mm-hmm. But the trick is, the people that are beating you up and bullying you, those people are stuck in that class too, but not for the reasons why you're in there.
Right, right.
You're in there.
It's a holding tank.
So it was like that. Right. That does make
that
it.
That did not help.
Yeah, I wish they would change that to where you wouldn't put the.
I just wish there weren't bullies anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
But at the same time, bullies help us grow.
True.
They help us grow.
Even though it's so sad.
You know, it is sad. And but if you can learn from those things, and if you can turn that thing and mm-hmm. make it positive, mm-hmm. and you will be an overcomer mm-hmm. over that, and it mm-hmm. will not affect you.
Right. Why don't you share some, because you have so much wisdom and all that you've gone through. So artists starting out right now. So you're kind of on the other side of years of perfecting your art, learning how to sell it, be the business person, you've been mentored. What do you think of the art scene now and what you can impart for words of wisdom?
So the art scene has changed. Okay. And I hear this a lot. Some of the younger artists, they don't need the galleries.
Okay. You know? They don't need them?
Yeah, they'll say that.
They say that, right.
But that is not good advice because the gallery will expose you to other artists.
Yeah.
Okay. And get you, so you can learn from them and they can learn from you.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be exposed to that. So for young artists, I would say do some art shows. Your family may think you're brilliant and genius and all, but if you really want to get good, you got to surround yourself with better people than you.
Right.
You can't just stay in your own controlled box.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta put yourself out there, and mm-hmm. it is hard.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, some people may really hate your stuff, and some people may really love your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you have to have the drive. It doesn't come at a whim. You know, things don't just come to you. They're earned. And I feel like in my life, I've had to earn everything and go through those seasons in life and the challenges, but it's made me a better artist, you know. And I've seen some artists that they may be selling stuff overnight, but then 5 years from now, they're not doing art anymore because they didn't go through those steps. I think you got to go through those steps of hardship and struggle mm-hmm. to become a better artist or teacher or mm-hmm. architect or doctor, you mm-hmm. know. I mean, you want a seasoned doctor. You don't want, you know, you don't want a doctor who's like, I'm a genius and everybody loves me.
Right.
You want the no's. You want mm-hmm. the rejection. Rejection builds character.
Mm-hmm.
Jay at first rejected some of my work, and I had to take that in and deal with those things and get better and not say, well, I'm just so good. You know, you have to get to a point to be teachable. Teachable spirit is the best thing in the art world. But
in any
world. And, you know, if you can't get into college, like I couldn't get into college because I didn't have that support group to take me all the way there. I had Jay, you know, find a mentor, someone who's been doing it a lot longer than you, that can give you wisdom and truly get that wisdom from them. Don't just go to them to listen, to really soak it in and take what they're saying so that you become a better rounded artist, you know. And I see a lot of artists they'll look at somebody's work and then they'll just start copying their stuff. That's not real. That's not you, you know. When I see people's portfolio, I can see where they're copying somebody, and I can see where their real work is, mm-hmm. where they're really putting their heart. And I would say, you know, do you, you know, just do you. It's okay if you're taking, if you're mixing other artists that influence you and doing your own work, that's okay. Cause that, what, that is what art is. It's being influenced by other artists and doing it your own way and taking that. But, you know, always progress yourself. You know, try not to put yourself in that box, you know.
What are some future goals that you have for your life, specifically in relationship to your art, your artistry?
Well, I would like to keep selling, which I am.
Good, I like hearing that.
You know, I would love to have a show in New York, you know, but that... You know, that's going to come when it comes.
All right. And I don't but that's good to know. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I don't want to force it. And I do want that opportunity. And I know I'm going to have to put some real investment time. And I don't know if I'm there yet. I want to be at the right time. Mm-hmm. Whenever that, if it ever does happen, that would be great. And if it doesn't, it doesn't matter because I'm still going to do my work. I'm still going to do my art regardless. You know,
I'm glad you told me that because I can see you in a show in New York and I think you're ready right now. And so that now that it's on my radar, I'm going to have my ears and eyes wide open. Okay. Cause I didn't know. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, that would be, I think the ultimate, the ultimate thing.
All right.
You know, for any artist, obviously it would be for sure.
Right.
You know, and I've sold pieces to collectors and stuff, private collections, some people in New York, but not like, you know, a show. And I've had shows, obviously, with the JX Gallery, and I've had shows at the Chic Evolution Art Gallery in Atlanta. And either that or Art Basel would be another one.
Okay.
Jay has been talking about some Art Basel stuff.
Yeah, I hope you do that too.
You know, I know that is a big expense, obviously, because of the what they charge to get in it. But I mean, I do believe my work is, you know.
You could get a sponsor.
Yeah.
Someone could sponsor you.
Sponsor me, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be,
you know,
I'll be
another
thinking
gallery
of that too.
Or, you know, anything like that, you know, for sure.
Well, tell everybody where your art is here locally and so that they can go see some of your art or and your website and
all
so
that. Locally you can contact me. You can go to my website at NathanAllenYoakum.com, and then you can call me or email me. You can also go to Modern Interiors in Miramar Beach, and you can work with Todd and George and Carrie, Lindsay, or Jamie, and they will help you. Yep. I do a lot of work with them, and I do work with designers in Memphis as well. And obviously, Jay sells my work. But, you know, I like this. I do like selling work through designers because they kind of cut out the people that are just talking about buying artwork and the people that actually do buy artwork.
Right.
And so that's nice because it kind of gives me that buffer. I do like to have a buffer. I do like to go through a gallery or a designer just because of that.
Awesome. Well, you know, I'm a big fan. And I consider you a friend, and I think you're the greatest of great guys. Thank you for letting me don this shirt that was at one point in time, this actual design worn by Elvis.
Yeah.
And I'll give it back to you after I get it dry cleaned.
No, you keep that thing.
It was so fun, and I'm so glad you came back.
Well, thank you so much.
And I'm so happy for all your success.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm honored.
I'm honored. Well, everybody, it's been so exciting to talk about where Nathan is today. And I'm super excited about him. And really, he is a magnificent artist. And if you're interested in his work, you know where to get it. And I hope you enjoyed the interview and have a wonderful day. Thank you. Bye-bye.